Liza, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you so much for being here. And welcome back. You've just come back a few days ago from Istanbul.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
A great time.
Yes, I had a fantastic time. Yeah. It is such a dynamic culinary and wine destination. I hadn't been for a long time, mm-hmm. but Istanbul is just blooming architecturally. The food is... It really reflects its position between mm-hmm. Asia and Europe, and you see those influences in the food, in the mm-hmm. wine, in the people, in the architecture, and it's also a really affordable destination. It just... It's fantastic.
And when I was very fortunate to be there a number of years ago, it was part of it was the ending point for a Silver Seas cruise, which was a great time. And I think my understanding, or for people who I know, it's this sort of the beginning place or the ending place for that Eastern Mediterranean or the Black Sea kind of thing. And they'll go with Silver Seas or what have you. But there are other people who go, obviously, to experience Turkey and Istanbul itself as a complete destination. And so you were there eating and drinking and having a good time. That's, what did you discover?
Well, basically eating and drinking is almost all I do with a little walking, you know, in there for good measure on vacation. Right. But what's so exciting about Istanbul is you can eat and drink in so many ways. You can grab kebabs on the street. Mm-hmm. You can go to mehanes, which are essentially meze houses where you have the hot and cold mezes that you would oftentimes drink with raki that they call raku, which is an anise-based liqueur similar to ouzo.
So did you say it was raki or raku?
They say raku.
Raku. Okay, so raku is a spirit. It's a distilled spirit, and it's, you said it's like anise.
Yeah. So it's like Ricard. Pastis, yeah.
Right. So that is a sort of a Mediterranean basin kind of thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of different cultures have it. What did I have in Lebanon? They have I don't remember what it's called. But Arak. That's right.
They're all very much related, as spirits. Mm-hmm. So you drink a lot of raku and then you get, you know, warm and fuzzy and everybody starts to kiss each other, and it's a bit more of a gentleman's thing, but ladies are invited to drink raku as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking about ladies and women traveling, did you find yourself in a really good space while you were there?
I love Istanbul. Turkey is a primarily Muslim country.
Right.
And it does have quite a conservative government now. Mm-hmm. So this was the third or fourth time I've been to Turkey. I did see more women covered than I have in the past, but overall, I think it's a very safe place and a very welcoming place. Right.
So as an American traveling, you felt welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that that's an important concept. I mean, feeling welcome wherever you go. I know if you're going to Paris or if you're going to London, what have you, you feel comfortable in many different ways, or I don't know, uncomfortable in many different ways. But Istanbul is still an exotic destination for a lot of Americans. So to travel there is really fun.
And it's a very approachable one. It's easy to get there. It's affordable to stay there. There, of course, are luxury properties and luxury restaurants, but there are also mid-level restaurants, you know, in little corner cafes that cost absolutely nothing.
Did you find it difficult to find those little corner cafes or non-luxury restaurants?
Not at all. I mean, my experience was very much sort of high-end and low-end Istanbul. I kind of had a cheat sheet of very fancy places that I wanted to go to, like Borsa, which is a restaurant Alan Richman wrote about in GQ, and the restaurant on top of the Marmara Pera and the Kempinski, which is fantastic for elegant, expensive, multifaceted dining.
And when you say elegant and expensive, is it sort of like going to the French Laundry or Fleur de Lis or something like that here?
I mean, expensive for Turkey would be probably $100 for dinner per person. Mm-hmm. I mean, given the cost of living there, that's quite expensive in my mind.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for a tourist, I mean, you have the, you obviously go with a certain amount of disposable money to eat and to drink and to plan out. I mean, that is what we do if we're going. Mm-hmm. You sort of decide where you want to eat and you rearrange everything else around that.
Mm-hmm. But I love the little divey places and little corner places sometimes better. I kind of made a destination trip to Kadıköy, which is the Anatolian side of the city. It's a very quick ferry ride and a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. You can see all the mosques and the whole Bosphorus.
Now, I didn't realize that until I was there that Istanbul is right on that Europe, Asia. And now this is the Asian section.
Kadıköy is the Asian section. And it's kind of a hipster destination, a lot of long-haired students and cool venues. And one street that was just full of more olive varieties than I ever knew existed. Stuffed peppers, cheeses, spices. Really exciting. And we went to kind of this small restaurant. They have three locations. One specializes in meat, one in meze called Chia, they source all kinds of products from local villages, and the food is so fantastic and so fresh.
And you felt all these places are really approachable for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are the specialties in these places?
Well, You always start with meze,
okay,
in Turkey, which are the hot and the cold appetizers. And the cold appetizers are fantastic. It's like a puree of fava beans, lots of dishes with eggplant. One of the most famous is imen bayildi,
the priest,
which means the priest fainted.
Okay.
The priest ostensibly fainted because it was such delicious.
Oh, okay.
dish. And then you have lots of wonderful cold mezes with yogurt, lots of things with lentils, like patties, leeks, and olive oil. And then those would be followed by hot mezes, which could be meatballs, kind of these tubes of fried cheese, zucchini patties, everything drenched in eggplant and yogurt and divinely healthy.
Well, and when you're eating in Istanbul, it's like a slow and leisurely thing. It's not quick, 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 let's go, let's go. It's very, very local and very right there and have you. Liza, of course, is here joining me in studio. LizaTheWineChick.com is her website. She's the editor-in-chief of Cheers Online. That's CheersOnline.com. We're talking about travel to Turkey and staying and drinking and all of the rest of it. And speaking about drinking, I'm going to ask Liza some questions about wines in Turkey. We'll do that just ahead. But I wanted to make a comment about Turkish Airlines and about the availability of going there. I looked around a little bit. Of course, there's GoTurkey.com, which is the official country website with information about going to Turkey. So GoTurkey.com. LizaTheWineChick.com. She'll have all the information, or she already has all the information about her trip itself on her own website, which is really, really great. And you can go to TurkishAirlines.com if you are so inclined to try out the service from Los Angeles. It's a Los Angeles service all the way to Istanbul. And of course, you can jump off from there. They have 777 service on Turkish Airlines, and you can go on their website to find out prices. The reason I mention that is that I really don't like the kind of the Frankfurt connection or the Munich connection. I mean, it's not always the best thing to do, but going from LA, you're already there. You, here I am. I'm in Istanbul. Go to your hotel, have a little nap and go out on the town or what have you. It's such a good thing. And we don't always think about those international airlines. And Turkish Airlines, of course, is an international airline with a lot of great accolades that have been happening over the short period of time that they've been flying into the United States. They've just been voted Europe's best airline by Skytrax, which is an 18.8 million person survey. So we'll talk a little bit more about traveling to Istanbul and what's going on in Istanbul and Turkey, and we'll do that just ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Dining Around. I'm Joel Riddell. I'm here with Liza Zimmerman. She is Liza the Wine Chick, LizaTheWineChick.com. Of course, she's editor and chief of Cheers Online. That's CheersOnline.com. She's just back from Turkey. So we're talking Turkey. We're talking about places to go and things to do and places to stay. But Liza, you were drinking wine when you were in Turkey as well.
Yes. Just one thought. Cheers also exists as a print publication. It exists online, and it's also a print publication, just to share that with our listeners. So the wines in Turkey were really impressive. Not many of them are available in the States, and you mostly find them in Turkish restaurants. But the winemaking tradition in Turkey dates back 7,000 years.
Which is so interesting, because as a culture with 99% Muslims, you don't always think about Turkey as being a destination where you would drink wine.
And that continues to be a problem for the wine industry. Something like less than 10% of the grapes grown in Turkey are used to produce wine. The rest go to raisin production or just eaten as fresh grapes. And a very small percentage of those wines are exported. And it's a challenge. I met with a lot of producers and spent time with Wines of Turkey. Not all restaurants carry wine or liquor. And it's not like San Francisco that you can BYOB if they don't carry it. They don't want it on the premises. And that's a shame, because some of the most wonderful food, the casual food and the street food, you can't enjoy with a bottle of wine.
Now, when you're there as a tourist, how would you go about procuring wine? Can you buy it at a store?
You can buy them at stores, or sometimes the best place is to go and taste a wide variety of wines, because you're talking about 600 to 800 indigenous varietals, most of which are very difficult to pronounce. They are blended with international varietals. The Marmara Pera has a wine bar on the roof, which has a beautiful 360 view of Istanbul. It's in Belagu, which is the kind of hip, gay neighborhood.
Belagu?
Okay. And they have several hundred wines by the glass that they pour. And it's, you know, a very elegant
setting. And many of them
setting.
Are indigenous wines of Turkey.
Turkey is really focusing on its indigenous varietals, even though many of the wines they're producing have sufficient Sauv Blanc or Chard that they could call it that. But they have this rich, rich history. And I have to say, the native grapes were fabulous. I was really so pleasantly surprised.
And don't we all want to have It's like with the Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese Company here in Petaluma. You want to sort of partner what you're eating with what you're drinking. Oftentimes, it's a really great jumping off point. Mm-hmm. I mean, why not celebrate, if you're on vacation in Turkey, the wines of Turkey as well?
Yeah.
You may not like everything, but yeah, you might like most of it.
But I said the bulk of the wines I tasted, and I sat down and did about a 30 wine tasting with wines of Turkey.
That's which, such a tough job.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. Get up at 10 in the morning and start drinking. But there were actually two local varieties, and I actually have my cheat sheet here for pronunciation from wines of Turkey that I really loved. One was Narince, which is a white grape, and it's very mineral and floral, fantastic with seafood. And obviously they have an abundance of fantastic fresh fish, octopus, oysters, everything from the sea there. And my other favorite indigenous red was, and this is a bit more challenging, Kaledik Karase, which makes really kind of spicy, fruity reds that can really stand up to the full range of lamb dishes. Lamb is a very, you know,
it's
often
there,
served
it's
meat.
The,
yeah,
right, there. Right. Now, if you were, these wines seem to be available only in Turkey and have limited exportation, but if you wanted to have, so if you wanted to drink those wines or consume them, would you be able to find them here? Maybe?
Well, there's a major importer in New York called House of Burgundy that's bringing in to the East Coast market a lot of these wines.
So maybe if you go to your local Canal or your Canal or something like this, one of your fine wine stores, you may be able to find it or ask for it.
They have a handful of the larger brands, and the large brands are good. It's just a pity that some of the smaller you know, producers, the wines would be pretty hard to find here. I mean, maybe you could special order them. That's why it's so much fun to go there.
Okay.
And enjoy them with views of the Bosphorus and, you know.
Everybody go to Turkey, drink all of the rest of it.
Yeah.
I'm here with Liza Zimmerman. She is Liza the Wine Chick, lizathewinechick.com. Of course, she's the editor-in-chief of Cheers Online. That's cheersonline.com. And of course, there's a print edition as well. We're talking Turkey, travel to Turkey. We're going to come back just ahead. I want to find out more from Liza about where she went. And also, if you aren't on your way to Istanbul or the rest of Turkey, where you can go in the city in the Bay Area to have a lovely Turkish bite. And we'll do that just ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Dining Around. I'm Joel Riddell. I'm here. We're talking Turkey with Liza Zimmerman. Liza, tell me more about the neighborhoods of Turkey.
Central Istanbul.
Turkey. Istanbul. Lord, yeah. Joel.
No worries.
Okay.
Central Istanbul is full of tons of great walking neighborhoods above and beyond the usual Grand Bazaar and seeing the mosques and the touristic
which
things.
Is important because I think
they're
as a tourist,
beautiful.
You need to see the Blue Mosque and you need to go into, anyway, that's my
Topkapi, Grand Bazaar, buy spices, purses.
Be a part of that.
Yeah. But I think my emerging favorite neighborhood is Belugu, which is the gay neighborhood.
Right.
It's the hipster neighborhood. It's full of lots of cafes and wine bars. Everything's open till midnight. Mm-hmm. Puts San Francisco to shame. There's a street called Nevizade in Belugu that's full of great cafes. There's also a passage called the Flower Market Passage that's full of kind of old-style restaurants with guys playing different traditional instruments. That was fantastic. I love the Asian side, you know, for the seafood, you know, to walk along it. Galata is sort of the neighborhood that borders Belugu, and it's also kind of full of hipsters and great craft shops and soap stores and things like that.
So lots of wandering and shopping and eating and tasting and all of that stuff.
And this is just the center of the city. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Istanbul has about 17 million residents. It's one of the physically largest cities I've ever been in.
I had no idea.
I went to the outskirts of the city for dinner, 50 kilometers. It took us an hour and a half, and we were still inside the city of Istanbul. Mind-bending stuff.
Right. It's huge.
Yeah, it's really enormous.
Right.
And you forget about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great, big, enormous place. Well, where would you go here in the San Francisco Bay Area? If you're not on your way to Istanbul, hopefully people will be at some point in the not-so-distant future, but please.
We have a handful of really great Turkish restaurants that also have Turkish wines, and some have rakı, and some might be even mixing up rakı in cocktails, which is a fun idea. I had a few good ones over in Istanbul.
So is that like their vodka? I mean, I know what it is now that you've mentioned it, but is that what people do? Do they
use
it as
their base?
It's
kind of the go-to sipping drink in cafes, the older gentlemen gathering, chatting, having some time alone in the afternoon, kind of like ouzo in Greece.
Right, but later on at night, you have a couple of cocktails and life's good.
Yeah. Well, if you drink in Istanbul, yeah.
Of course.
If you're me, certainly.
Which you do. So where should people go here?
Dunya is one of my favorites. It's on Polk around Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Really delicious meze, great kebabs, lamb, chicken, all that stuff. Also love Troya, which is perhaps the most sort of elegant Turkish restaurant we have. That's in the inner Richmond on Clement. And there's also one called Bursa, named after the university town that's close to Istanbul in West Portal, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And actually, interestingly enough, a lot of the guys who run these restaurants are Jordanian Palestinians.
Oh.
They're not Turkish, but the food is really good.
But they love genuine. Turkish cuisine.
Yeah, they understand how to make it. Mm-hmm. So.
And so there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right, why not go? So if you can't get to Turkey, go to and there are other restaurants, of course, in the San Francisco Bay Area, but those three are the ones that are your go-to places.
Yeah, I love them. And a handful of restaurants in New York, a Turkish kitchen, Turkish cuisine.
Right. But if you're going to go to New York, you may as well go all the way to Istanbul.
Yeah, you're right. But for me, I think this may be the world's finest cuisine. Mm-hmm. I just am so impressed with the complexity, the diversity, how healthy. Mm-hmm.
And you brought me some sumac.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Sumac,
which is beautiful,
is the kind of dark purple spice that they sprinkle on kebabs. It's one of my favorite spices in the world. And I got this for you in Kadıköy on the Asian side. And it's delicious. It's some of the best sumac I've had. I've been putting it on everything since I returned.
Well, when we were in Istanbul, we got to do lots of different things. Of course, we were only there for a few days and we stayed at one of the fancier hotels, which was obviously great fun for me. But I knew that there were lots of other great places to stay. But we visited the spice market, and we visited the Blue Mosque, and we visited the Hagia Sophia, and all of those places that are in that downtown core. But we didn't get much outside of it. So I look forward to going again and doing things that are outside of it. Thank you so much, Liza.
Thank
What's
you,
next
Joel,
for you?
Joel, for having me.
What's next? What's next? Oh no, I'm still jet lagged.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have current international travel plans.
That's okay. Well, Liza Zimmerman, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Joel.
LizaTheWineChick.com. If you want to get Liza's picks, Liza's information.